Welcome to the Keep Texas Red Podcast, where we discuss the importance of true conservative values. Follow us on KeepTexasRed.org. And now, here's your host, campaign strategist and political commentator, Joseph Vargas.
As I've stated before on the podcast, this is one of the most interesting elections for the primaries in recent Texas history. A lot of conservatives are coming up and challenging the incumbents, and the gubernatorial race is no exception. Our guest today is a Christian constitutional conservative, a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel, and the former representative of the 22nd Congressional District in Florida, and he is a former chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Welcome to the Keep Texas Red Podcast, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
It's good to be with you, Joseph. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks for being on. Now, first of all, what made you decide to run for governor at this precise time in history?
Well, I tell you, when you're the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas and you're the keeper of the legislative priorities, the keeper of the Republican Party platform, after you worked real hard to make sure that we had that majority in the Texas State House, 83-67, in the Texas State Senate, 18-13, we did not have any major losses even with our congressional races. And then when it comes time for that legislative session, first and foremost, you have a Speaker of the House that comes in and he gets Democrats to vote for him to become the Speaker. And then he puts Democrats in as committee chairman. That's when I referred to him as a political traitor. When you have a governor that is out there usurping the legislative powers and authority by the Constitution and is passing down edicts, orders, mandates, and decrees, he is extending early voting, which is something that he does not have the enumerated power to do, and also appropriating Texas taxpayer dollars to private sector corporation to do contact tracing. You got to call them out on those things. But without a doubt, when you looked at our legislative priorities going into that session, and very few of those legislative priorities got passed. As a matter of fact, really, let's say 1.5 out of the 9. That's why you stepped down from being the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas and run for governor, because as the chairman, you can only advocate. You can only go down to Austin and knock on the doors and beg for meetings and say, will you please get these things done? Can I hear you out? The governor has never called me, never when I was the chairman, even when I was elected, never said congratulations. And so he's had a very distant relationship, and he doesn't see himself as a servant of the people here in Texas. He doesn't see himself as being beholden to Republicans here. And so you look at child gender modification procedures and practices. That's the most heinous, evil, and abhorrent thing that it could be happening to our children. Yet it's happening here in Texas. Puberty blockers, hormonal therapies, surgical procedures. You look at the fact we can't get school choice passed. We cannot end taxpayer-funded lobbying. We still have not curtailed executive overreach and executive powers. Protections to our historical monuments and markers. Still nothing there. And even with election integrity, Joseph, you find that the legislation passed took voter fraud from being a felony offense down to a misdemeanor offense. So we still have not done what is necessary and right. And to this day, we've just gone into early voting and we have a Secretary of State that is out there granting waivers to people so that counties so they don't have to have sequential ballots. How does that protect our election integrity? So that's why you have to step up to run for governor so you can set that legislative narrative, you can set that tone.
Now, one of your campaign issues, and it's something that is probably in everybody's mind right now, is the border security issue. Now, I don't know if you've seen videos, but there's videos out there of the Texas National Guard actually assisting illegal aliens crossing the river. Now, Governor Abbott, but the person that's in that seat is a commander-in-chief of the National Guard. Yeah. So he has allowed this. Would a Governor West allow this type of behavior to continue? And if not, what would you do different?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I don't need to see the videos because I was right there on the Rio Grande River at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I saw it happen myself right there in Roma, Texas, where a gentleman yelled out across the river in Spanish, I have 80 ready to cross. Our National Guard troops, there were three of them there with one Humvee. They turned on the lights. so that the human smuggler could see exactly where to bring the people across. And I mean, 80 people in just two little rafts. So you can imagine how many times they went back and forth and back and forth. They collected the people up, put them on a bus that the Border Patrol had command and control over, and never to be seen again. So we're going to make sure that when we put our National Guard on the border, first of all, they're going to have the right training, equipment, and ammunition and rules of engagement to be able to be successful. And I will tell you, Joseph, one of the big articles is being written up in Army Times, military.com. The Texas National Guard is trying to unionize itself because of the deplorable conditions that Governor Abbott has put them under. I was a soldier for 22 years. That's not going to happen if I'm the commander in chief. The other thing is that we've got to take and assume command and control of our border zone because the Border Patrol is not doing it. ICE is not deporting. So you look at the Highway 90 to the north, Rio Grande Valley to the south. You got the respective sectors, El Paso sector, Big Bend sector, Del Rio sector, Laredo sector, Rio Grande Valley sector. And that's where you deploy your troops in and you put them on the major infiltration routes and you interdict those routes. You also bring in your Texas State Militia, your Texas Guard, and you have a task force down there and you have the right command relationships, normally operational control or tactical control for all of those ancillary elements and individual units that are going to be down there. The other thing you have to do is you have to designate the cartels as a transnational narco-criminal terrorist organization. I can do that by executive order, and I will. We're not fighting a business organization. We're fighting a terrorist organization. We're fighting an insurgency on our border. They are firing across the river into Texas, and our rules of engagement should be that we will return fire if we are fired upon. But without a doubt, we've got to go after their resources. We've got to go after their financing. We have to go after their assets. We freeze all of that. We seize it to use for our own border security fund. We cannot continue to be the number one state in America for human and sex trafficking, top two cities in America for sex trafficking, Houston and Dallas, and the drug trafficking crisis that we see happening because of the fentanyl is killing. It's the number one killer of Americans 18 to 45. The other thing we have to do is these non-governmental organizations, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Ministries, they are the travel agencies for these illegal immigrants. They are the ones that are giving them $1,300 to $1,400 taxpayer money, free cell phone, put them on buses, put them on planes, and they're dispersed throughout Texas or across the United States of America. We're going to revoke their licenses because they are a 501c3 to operate here in the state of Texas. And lastly, we're going to cut off the taxpayer-funded benefits to people that are here illegally. $6 to $8 billion we spend on people that are here illegally. And think about what's going on in our schools, our hospitals, every place where we're providing all these taxpayer-funded benefits. So those are some of the things we'll do to get this border under control. And we're going to stand on the Constitution. This is not an immigration issue. This is an invasion issue.
Now, Alan, it's understood that you have a plan on this border issue that's going on right now, this border crisis. However, how will the Governor West deal with Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and other Biden-appointed leadership within the Border Patrol that are actually complicit with this border invasion?
Well, General George Patton had a saying. He said, lead, follow, or get the hell out of my way. And that's exactly the message that I'll send to them. You know, right now, the Constitution in the United States of America is very clear. In Article 4, Section 4, is the guarantee clause. The federal government is supposed to guarantee to every state in the union to protect us from invasion. They're not doing the job. And so Article 1, Section 10, Clause number 3 of the Constitution says specifically what states can do if actually invaded when there is an imminent danger without any admit of delay. And so I'm going to stand on the Constitution, the rule of law, and these folks want to come down and help us and assist us, that's fine. If they want to try to deter us, they're going to get steamrolled.
Now, going on to another issue, last year during the winter storm, we discovered that Governor Abbott had appointed out-of-state bureaucrats to the ERCO board, which is a board that manages a flow of electricity and power to more than like 26 million Texas customers. As a result of this, the winter storm really turned out to be a catastrophe, you know, with power outages. Now, this is one of the governor's responsibilities many people are unaware of, which is the responsibility to appoint, and it's dozens of state boards and commissions, including in the electricity and the power, education, and health. So why do you think Governor Abbott appointing out-of-state liberals to these boards? And what type of people would a Governor West appoint to these boards?
Well, I'm going to appoint people that share my same political philosophy, and that's constitutional conservatism. I think the Governor Abbott is going to appoint anyone that writes him a check, based upon how much that check is, to be in a position of authority over us here in the state of Texas. And that's what you see happening with a lot of these appointments to commissions and even the Texas Board of Regents overseeing our colleges and universities. There's just a recent decision from the Texas Board of Regents that they're going to continue on with critical race theory and cultural Marxism in our colleges and universities. Why? Because these are the people that he appointed. And that's another reason why he should not be sitting in that position as a governor. So, no, I'm going to appoint those individuals that share that same philosophy, to include down like Texas Medical Board, Nursing Board, Pharmacy Board, the Texas Education Agency, the Texas State Board of Alcohol and Beverages. All of these different agencies need to have someone that shares my same vision and philosophy of always putting the individual, their rights, their freedoms, and their liberties first. And what happened with that, the electric grid, you know, the wrong people on the Public Utilities Commission, the wrong people on ERCOT, but the governor has again put an over-reliance and an unreliable source of energy. Remember, it was last year on the 9th of February that Governor Abbott received an award from a wind energy PAC. And then it was 5 days later when wind and solar could not keep up with the 23% energy distribution that we had given to them, and it dropped down to 3%, almost down to zero, and there was no backup. We're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. We should be looking at natural gas first. We should bring back those 3 to 4 clean coal fire plants that we shut down. We need to look at how we can bring in another nuclear reactor. But the governor's going to kowtow to anyone that writes him the biggest check. And that's why he can go around and boast he has $60 million in campaign contributions. It's not coming from grassroots Republicans and conservatives. It's coming from big business interests, and that's who he serves.
Also, during the pandemic here in Texas, through an executive order and in alliance with Dr. Fauci and the CDC, Governor Abbott shut down businesses. He left many people out of work, and he threatened, there is a video out there where he threatened anyone who defied the executive order with a fine and jail time. How is Governor West going to deal with Dr. Fauci and the CDC regarding these regulatory organizations?
Well, first of all, regulatory organizations do not have any enumerated power to make law. The only people that can make law are designated representatives. We live in a representative democracy that is a constitutional republic, and our democratic process allows us to elect those representatives. So laws are passed in the House and the Senate, and they're signed in into law as by the executive. So the CDC or Dr. Fauci, they don't tell Texas. They're not going to tell me what to do. And edicts, orders, mandates, decrees are not law. And that's, again, one of the things that separates me from a person like Governor Abbott. I took an oath to the Constitution on 31 July 1982. I understand the Constitution. I understand that we should abide by the rule of law because we're not a constitutional monarchy. We don't have kings, queens, dukes, and duchesses, or princes and princes, or feudal lords that lord over us. So we got to get back to that basic understanding. And the governor's shutting down businesses. He doesn't have the enumerated power to decide who or what is essential. The most essential thing in Texas and in America is individual liberty. But yet we saw 2.7 million Texans lose their jobs. We saw upwards to about 10,000 small businesses that shut down, bankrupt, gone away, never coming back. But yet he wants to go out and talk about how great the Texas economy is. We're recovering from his faux pas and what he did.
Another thing in regards to that, Alan, is that it's been heard that Biden and Attorney General Garland already prepared in case Abbott does lose this primary. And how would a Governor West deal with all these federal executive orders and very likely lawsuits from liberal judges and possible sanctions on behalf of the Biden administration?
Is not going to deter me because I understand, again, the Constitution. You can't rule over us as a sovereign state by edicts, orders, mandates, and decrees. And I go back to the Declaration of Independence where it said free and independent states create created these United States of America. And furthermore, when you go to the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8, it lists the 18 things, the 18 direct things that are the duties and responsibilities of the federal government. The 10th Amendment says all of those powers not delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states and to the people. So if Joe Biden comes down and says you have to reduce and shut down your oil and gas production, I'm going to say, Joe, no. Because you can't order that. That has to be taken through a legislative process. And so we're going to continue to produce, to consume, and even export those resources. We should be sending oil and natural gas to Eastern Europe, not our troops over there worried about Ukraine's border. That's how you undermine Vladimir Putin. Why don't we send our troops to our own border, 1,254 miles here, that is open and very porous? So I think you have to understand, again, the supremacy clause of the Constitution, where it says that the federal government is supreme or superior, however you want to say it, over the states, if they are doing the things that are pursuant thereof to the Constitution. Well, if you're not doing something that's pursuant thereof to the Constitution, I will invoke this thing called constitutional nullification, and I will just not obey.
Now, let's say you win the election the day right after. How are you going to deal with incumbent Republican members of the House that are not interested in actually pushing for the Republican platform?
Well, that's why this primary is so important. And in your introduction, you talked about how you see up and down so many incumbents being challenged. And that's why we need people to get out to vote, because everything that I'm saying here on the Keep Texas Red podcast will mean nothing if I don't have the supporting cast in the Texas State House and the Texas State Senate that will go in there and make that happen. And that means I need to have someone different than Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. That means I need to have someone different than Speaker of the House Dave Phelan. And so we need good, strong constitutional conservatives that are there. They're going to say, absolutely right. I'm on board with these legislative priorities. I want to support and get this legislation to the Governor West to sign, and then everything will be fine. If not, then I'm just going to be a hamster on a really big wheel down there in Austin.
Now, Alan, you probably heard that Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez recently visited Texas.
Yeah.
And one of her statements, she said it's only a matter of time before Texas turns blue. What's your response to this?
The same response that General McAuliffe gave to the Germans when in December 1944 in Bastogne, they were asked to surrender the entire 101st Airborne Division. And General McAuliffe said, nuts. Miss Ocasio-Cortez, she's nuts. If you look at what is going on in Texas right now, Joe Biden only has between a 30 to 35% approval rating in the Hispanic community in Texas. And when you look at what has happened along the Rio Grande Valley, it's flipping. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the big stories that came out in November 2020. We've got two fantastic Latinas that are running for Congress down in the Valley, Myra Flores and also Monica De La Cruz Hernandez. Monica came very close to winning that election in the last 2020 cycle. She's going to do it this cycle. So Texas is not going to be trending toward blue. Now, what we do have to do is make sure that all of these folks that are moving here, California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, they leave their failed ideologies and policies back in the state where they fled. They have to understand that they're not coming here to be disciples. They're coming here as refugees. And that, again, is one of the important things about the type of businesses that we're attracting to Texas and the type of employment base that they're bringing here to Texas. And so we have to make it very clear that Texas is going to be a strong constitutional conservative state, and everything is trending that way.
Final thing, Alan, is that I've talked to a lot of Republicans across the state that agree that Abbott has not done a good job. They're disappointed how he's let the border, just the crisis, continue. They're disappointed with the shutdown last year. They're disappointed with him appointing liberals to these boards and other committees. But a lot of them are saying they're still going to vote for him because they don't think anybody else can actually beat Beto. What does Alan West respond to this?
Well, first of all, Albert Einstein once said the pure definition of insanity is to continue to do the exact same thing and think you're going to get different results. So I'm tired of the GOP establishment fear-mongering, and that you have to vote for us. You have to keep this moderate type of way. We have to be able to work with the other side, and I'm the only one that can do it, and that's the only way that we can win. Look, Texas is in trouble right now because we're not standing up. More people are looking to Florida and Ron DeSantis to be a leader than they are to Texas. And our governor is a leader. So I will tell you that we had already, back in December, ran a head-to-head poll with myself against Mr. O'Rourke, and I outperformed Governor Abbott against Mr. O'Rourke, and I look forward to being on the debate stage with Robert Francis.
Ellen, your website is west4texas.com. That's west4texas.com. Early voting, as you said, is going on right now through the Friday, February the 25th. Election day is Tuesday, March 1st. So in conclusion, Alan, tell our listeners why Alan West is the best choice for governor of Texas.
You know, when I think about Texas, and people always say, well, you know, Colonel, you're not from here. But yeah, I was born and raised in Georgia. And there are five names of Georgians on the cenotaph at the Alamo. I went to the University of Tennessee. There are 38 names of Tennesseans that are on the Alamo, the state with the most that came here to fight at the Alamo. My life has been defined by service, sacrifice, and commitment. 22 years in the United States Army. I served in the United States House of Representatives. I served here as the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. And I see this critical moment. And I think that right now, Texas needs the type of fighting man that we saw back in 1835 to 1836 that stood up against a dictator and made sure that Texas would be one of those free and independent states eventually in 1845, but it stood up as a free and independent nation itself. So I want to stand in the gap for Texas. I want to restore it to the preeminence of being a constitutional conservative state that everyone looks to for leadership, because the Lone Star illuminates the other 49 stars on the American flag.
Alan West, we want to wish you all the best on the campaign trail, and thank you for being on the Keep Texas Red podcast.
Thank you so much, Joseph. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Keep Texas Red podcast. Follow us on keeptexasred.org.